We're not talking about punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It is Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark. All right, let's see what's happening with the temperatures. It looks like it's warm. How about that? Currently here in Elk City, we're at 86.5, 90 at Buffalo, 90 at Hollis, 88 at Hobart, capital Kiowa County, 87 degrees at Putnam, Lahoma, you're 87, 89 at Beaver. And out here in the Texas Panhandle, 86 at Lipscomb, 85 at Dozer, and 90 at Odell and Goodlett and Wellington. How about that? Anyway, all right, it's Thursday. One more day to the weekend after tomorrow. How about that? Let's see. Got lots to go over today. Hobart Stockyards had a really, really, really good sale yesterday. And Beaver had a good one Tuesday. And we got those to talk about, the grains, just everything. We'll figure out what happened overnight in our big ag world. I just want to tell you, I went out to the Taylor Ranch yesterday with the invite from Jimmy and Tracy, and Jesus, too much smoke, Jimmy, too much smoke. Anyway, they were out there, but the Clarendon cattle and feedlot operations class was out there. And yeah, last year was the first time I got to meet up with those two busloads of young, bright kids. And I got to meet them again yesterday. And they were a great set of kids. I got to interview the instructors and interview two of the students. A lot of hope out there. Anyway, what a great program. And we'll have more on that next week. I've got a segment with an interview from them. But anyway, they came out to the Taylor Ranch and learned about the commercial cow-calf operation that Jimmy and Tracy's got going out there. And we talked a little bit about feedlots and different types of operations. And I'm just telling you, if all these kids follow through their dreams of what they're wanting to do, whether it's go back home to be on their family ranch or pursue other deals, I was amazed. Anyway, one of the kids I interviewed was from Northeastern Colorado, and but the majority of the kids were from Texas. There was one young lady, and she was from Northeastern Oklahoma, and in the class last year there was 5 classes in there. So we got to figure out how to get some more young ladies involved in ranch and feedlot operations at Clarendon. It's great. It's a great course. So anyway, and I know there's some people around here in Beckham County that I know have been through the course. So anyway, it's a good deal. I was really glad that I got to go out there and spend a couple hours with all them. All right, let's see what's happened last night. There's no telling in the ag world what's happened. I know they didn't talk ag on the debate, even though I didn't watch it. But from what I heard, they didn't say nothing about farmers or agriculture on the Republican debate last night. So we got to get that changed. Anyway, soybeans were lower in overnight trading as the U.S. harvest rolls on. 12% of the soybean crop was harvested at the start of the week, up from 5% a week earlier and ahead of the prior 5-year average of 11%. The U.S. Department of Agriculture said in its report earlier this week, about 73% were dropping leaves, up from 54% the week prior, and the average is 62, so it's ahead of schedule, it looks like. Half the crop was in good or excellent condition as of Sunday, and that's down from 52% a week earlier. Rain fell in parts of the Corn Belt, including Illinois and Indiana, in the last 24 hours. According to data from the National Weather Service, precipitation was prevalent in parts of the several states that included the Dakotas, Nebraska, Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Illinois. Still, it's been dry in much of western Kansas and Oklahoma and parts of southern Iowa into Missouri, giving farmers a chance to collect their crops. The soybean harvest in Iowa was 11% complete at the start of the week, up from 3% a week earlier. In Illinois, 6% have been collected, and that versus 1% a week earlier. And the average is 7%. Soybean futures for November delivery dropped 8.5 cents to $12.94¾ a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade. Soy meal was down a buck to $3.88.10 a short ton, while soy oil lost 0.48 cents, a half a penny, to 57.76 cents a pound. Corn for December delivery was down 1.25 cents to $4.82 a bushel. Wheat futures fell 0.75 cents to $5.78¾ a bushel in Chicago, and Kansas City futures lost 3¾ cents to $6.90¾. Wheat's just taking it, beating. Ethanol output rose week to week, while inventories climbed to the highest level in more than a month, according to data from the Energy Information Administration. Production was up to 1.009 million barrels a day in the week that ended on September 22nd. That's up from 980,000 barrels on average the previous week. The Midwest, the biggest producing region, output rose to 951,000 to that's up from 927,000 a week earlier. Pretty much the stockpiles, ethanol stockpiles, meanwhile, jumped to 22.048 million barrels in the 7 days that ended on September 22nd. That's up from 21.681 million barrels a week earlier, and the highest level since August of last year. Weather-wise, in our Farm Belt, is extremely dry weather is expected in parts of Nebraska, Kansas, and Oklahoma, resulting in prime conditions for wildfires. I don't think our humidity here is going to let that happen right at the minute, but that don't mean it won't happen. So, but tomorrow, the humidity is supposed to drop some more. So, anyway, be careful out there. As I always say, please check your chains, check your wheel bearings. Don't be out welding on stuff in the pasture unless you have a fire watch person with you, or just don't do it. Wait till we get a rain or something like that. And speaking of rain, the forecast has changed a little bit. According to the Mezzanet and the weatherman, the weather guy, whatever his name is on Facebook, looks like that cool front is going to be moving through Tuesday, and our chances of rain have went way up for next week. Understand it's a prediction, but hey, there's hope. Anyway, everybody's been sowing wheat. The wheat that's up needs a rain. The stuff that's dusted in needs a rain. So anyway, hope is in the forecast. How about that? In parts of southern Illinois and Indiana, storms expected throughout this morning, this afternoon. Hail and lightning are the biggest concerns. There's a marginal risk of excessive rainfall across southwest Indiana, southeast Illinois, and much of west Kentucky, home of the world famous Tradio man himself and the Backroads man Drew Kopp. So anyway, we'll see what's going on there. All right, let's check out some grain market prices right now. Let me make sure it's updated. I hate to give out false information. December corn right now is up 3 to 487. March is 502, up 3 also. May's 510. Soybeans are down, looks like 3 cents. November's $13 even. January's 1318. And March is 1331. Soybean meal is up, looks like $3.60 to $393.70 a short ton for October. December's $392.50. And January's $388.60. Looks like soybean oil's down a little bit, a little over a penny to 58.46 for October. December's 57.07. Hard red winter wheat taking another beating today, down 7. It looks like at 6.86 a bushel for December. March is 6.94. May is $7 even. And what else is going on? Cotton. Cotton's up nicely. October's 89.20. December's 89 even, March is 89.63, and May is 89.81. Sugar man, sugar daddy, just hanging in there, making a couple cents a pound on the sugar. October sugar is 26.73 cents a pound, up 0.6 cents today. And West Texas Intermediate Oil is down 92.30 for November, and December 90.06. You guys keep up with your, in contact with your fuel guy that you get your diesel fuel. I know we're getting to the end of the farming season. We've still got a lot of farming left to do, peanuts to dig, more wheat and rye and true to cow to put in. But keep up with your fuel man, ask him questions, because there's all kinds of information out there right now that oil will get to $100 a barrel, if not more. So not to scare you, just stay in contact with your fuel man to make sure if you need fuel, when's a good time to buy. Natural gas is up to almost $3. It's at November's $2.92 and December's $3.32 and January's $3.58. So anyway, we'll go with that. Well, let's go ahead and take an Oklahoma Farm Bureau break, brought to you by the Roger Mills County Farm Bureau. Be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
When your tractor has a flat, you're stuck. When your truck's on a construction site and a tire goes down, you're in trouble. You need help. So you call down to Blair, and they come to you. They answer the phone, and somebody comes to wherever you are to fix your problem. They carry Firestone, Michelin, and some other tires. Blair Tire and Feed, Highway 283 and 19. On-site tire service, 563-2692. 563-2692. They come to you.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards Weekly Cattle Sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
We're open on Saturdays from 9 to noon, full service lobby. We have new accounts there, personal bankers. We have loan guys there. We have tellers. You can do anything you need to do on a Saturday in the lobby. It helps a lot of people who are out of town that need to come do banking business, or people that work Monday through Friday and can't get in with our hours. They can come on a Saturday. That's one of the things that makes us different. I'm Elizabeth Mosley, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
That life insurance that I have on myself, it's not for me. It's for my wife, that she doesn't have to sell the home. She doesn't have to go worry about, how am I going to make this car payment? How am I going to come up with the cost out of pocket to pay this funeral? Because, you know, that's an expensive cost, and it's a cost that you're going to have. If you had a machine in your garage that made money, it was a money-making machine. You went out every day and you flipped the switch on that machine and it generated money to pay your bills. Would you insure that machine? I've never had anybody say no. Sure they would. Well, you are that machine. You flip your switch on every morning when you get up. You flip your switch on when you go to work. But yet we don't insure ourselves. It doesn't make any sense to me. Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
Hey, cotton farmers, are you walking in high cotton?
High cotton.
It's easier than you think. Have your cotton ginned fast and efficiently at Western Planters Cotton Gin in Hobart, Oklahoma. Bet you didn't know they have the largest gin in the state and the connections to get top dollar on your investment. They're located at the corner of Highway 9 and Highway 183, just north of Hobart. Be sure and check them out online. WesternPlantersCottonGin.com.
At Lone Star Gin, 4.5 miles south of Pampa, Texas on Highway 70, our mission is to provide superior customer service to our producers while getting their cotton ginned in a timely manner. We possess 120-plus bale per hour capacity, high-tech moisture systems, on-site sampling, and we move cotton in a timely manner from the field to the gin. With excellent hands-on marketing, our gin is designed to maximize profits for our farmers. Visit us at www.lonestargin.com or give us a call 806-665-0677.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Odell, Texas. 92 degrees, heat index at 92, humidity's at 36, dew points at 61, the winds are out of the south at 15 miles an hour, peak wind gust today, 24 miles an hour. Month-to-date precipitation, 1.55 inches of rain, 80 soil temperature, 82 degrees. And there you got that going on. All right, let's see what's happening with the futures on live and feeders. October, live cattle 186.27, December 190.32, February 194.55. Feeder cattle back in the green today for a change, and they're coming up pretty good. Feeder cattle for September 252.32, October 254.47, November feeders 257.35. And we got January feeders at 259.82. So it's all, they're all back in the green today, which is a good thing. All right, everybody got through taking their profits, and it's time to go. All right, let me get to my phone here. And there we go. Hobart Stockyards had a really good sale yesterday. All right, steers, 3 to 4 weights. We're bringing up to 320. 4 to 5 weights, bringing up to 350. The 290.83 was the average on those 4 to 5 weights. 5 to 6 weights, bringing up to 255. No 7 weights in there yesterday, but we got some 8 to 9 weights. We're bringing up to 210. And heifers, 3 to 4 weights, 270, top end. 240 for 4 to 5 weights, and 235 for 5 to 6 weights. And let's see here. Butcher cows, bringing up to $1.450. Butcher bulls bringing up to $1.60. One brought, yeah, that's pretty good. Anyway, average was 104.50 to 160, but the average on the butcher bulls was around 120 a pound. Cows, bred cows were bringing up to 24.50, and pairs were bringing up to 2,500. So they had a really good sale. They had a bunch of bred red Angus cows there yesterday, and bred cows in there, and I think there was like 50 or 60 head. I don't have that piece of paper in front of me that Rex gave me. Anyway, they had some black Angus in there also. So good sale at the Hobart Stockyard yesterday. Okay, let's briefly go over what happened in at Beaver. At Beaver, Oklahoma, they had a big sale there, almost 3,000 head. And it looks like bulls were... they were bringing, I'm just looking through here. These are all individuals. One red bull brought $1.54, but it looks like for the most part, they was in the $1.15 to $1.25 range. 32 head, average weight, 1538 there. If I just read the report, it'll tell me everything I want. 32 head of bulls, average weight, 1538, average price, 110.82 at $1,704 a head. All right, let's go on down here to some cows. Where's the cows at? There they are. Anyway, it looks like they was over 500 head of butcher cows, I'm guessing, by this report. Average weight, 1196. Average price per pound, per hundred weight, 112.29. And the cows were averaging $1,343.02 per head. Okay, we got some heifer calves going on here, and they're heifers. 572 head of heifers, average weight 488, average price 263.78, bringing almost $1,300 a head. All right, we got some more heifers here. 420 head, average weight 694, average price 240.47, bringing almost $1,700 a head. That was for your bigger heifers. Pairs, they had 9 pairs, looks like, and they were averaging around 1700. And keep on scrolling down here and see it. Here we go. We got the steers. Let me get down to here. 721 head of steers, yearlings. Average weight, 835. Average price, $247.96. Average price per head, $2,070.01. Pretty good sale, looks like. I was looking for the smaller. I got to click on that. Here we go. Looking for the smaller steers here. Oh, here we go. I missed it. Sorry, my bad. Steers, calves, 574 head. Average weight, 530. Average price, $290.06. Equals out to $1,536.12 per head. So Beaver had a good sale up there also. So anyway, cattle market's good, gentlemen. It's all, and ladies, get that going. All right. I've seen this, and I wanted to go over this with you guys. I talk about vets at least once a month, and I want to talk about it again because this was a good deal in the beef email this morning. By now, you've heard the U.S. Food and Drug Administration Center for Veterinary Medicines change of purchasing medically important over-the-counter antibiotics for animals is now requiring a vet prescription as of June 11th. You guys remember me talking about this. This is one of the many changes implemented regarding administering antibiotics to food-producing animals over the last decade due to growing concerns of treatment of food-producing animals and antibiotic resistance. Anyway, so they changed that out. They said limit medically important antibiotic drugs to uses in food-producing animals that are considered necessary for assuring animal health. And number two, limited medically important antibiotic drugs to uses in food-producing animals that include veterinary oversight or them consulting with them. So anyway, that's so the most recently is a part of the FDA's five-year action plan for antibiotic stewardship recommendations for sponsors of medically important antibiotic drugs approved for use in animals to voluntarily bring under vet oversight all products to continue. So after the brief history lessons, you can quickly see how veterinarians have become the gatekeeper for food producing animal production operations and their own ability to manage animal health and disease. So this brings this gentleman to the point of this article. As a beef or dairy producer, we must maintain a valid vet client patient relationship with a licensed veterinarian in order to obtain those drugs needed to treat sick cattle. The FDA defines a valid FCPR as one that meets the following requirement. A vet has assumed the responsibility for making medical judgments regarding the health of animals and the need for medical treatment. The client, the owner of the animal or animals, has agreed to follow the instructions of the veterinarian. There is a sufficient knowledge of the animals by the vet to indicate the least or general or preliminary diagnosis of the medical condition of these animals. The practicing veterinarian is readily available for follow-up in case of adverse reactions or failure of therapy. Such a relationship can exist only when the vet has recently seen is personally acquainted with the keeping and care of the animals by virtue of examination of the animals or by medically appropriate and timely visits to the premises where the animals are kept. Vets offer a wealth of knowledge on maintaining proper animal health and basic husbandry practices. Find a vet who's willing to have you maintain a VCPR. It's set up regular farm visits annually to keep your veterinarian accustomed to the way you treat your animals. The beef checkoff and beef quality insurances have developed a cattle care toolkit checklist to review and prepare for your cattle operation, so you'll have these things ready for when the tool is needed. Preparation is critical when animal health is at risk because this can be an essence for possible treatment and recovery outcomes. Take the time now to have meaningful conversations meaningful conversations with your vet about preparing your cattle operations for herd health records and events. So anyway, it's very important. Everything's important with cattle, farming, farmland, crops, the whole nine yards, because speaking of that, I know Greer County and Beckham County FSA has sent out emails here reminding you guys of important dates. And October 9th, their offices will be closed, but October 15th, that's your final date to plant wheat and other small grain crops to maintain eligibility for NAP grazing coverage and LFP eligibility. And then January 30th of 2024, deadline to apply for 2023 LFP. So anyway, but these have been coming out. They've been giving you a heads up for a whole year now or longer. And it comes out in every email and every meeting. Keep your livestock records up to date. A good way to do this is record your inventory by pastures on your calendar or in a notebook. It's mine, I do mine in a tally book. This will make a huge difference if we have a disaster or any sort this winter. They also, I don't think they say it in this email, but pictures are totally important. So you have before pictures of your cows, and some of you guys got 200-300 head, and I know it's hard, but you know, you go through there when you're working your cows or AI-ing them or something, just take a quick picture of them, make you a folder on your phone, and you got it. So the physical year starts October. The new physical year starts October 1st. So anyway, if you have any changes to your operation, they need to know about it. Sales, purchases, change of title, new leases, releasing leases, changing from cash lease, share, or vice versa, creating an entity such as LLC, changing members or shares of an entity, changing banks or deposits, change address, phone number, on and on and on. And but don't forget to report your acres. Fall planting of all small grains like wheat, rye, truticale, and barley will happen soon. And if you haven't already started, and I know a lot of people has, anyway, you got that is required by October 15th, and to report those by at least January 15th. So anyway, just some friendly reminders with the FSA. But every time I see one of their emails or they have a class like they had over there for Roger Mills in Beckham County at Sayre here, it's been way few months ago, first thing they tell you, record keeping. There's a reason. You're not gonna, you know, I know a lot of guys know the exact number of cows they have in each pasture, but record it so you have it in writing. See, I told you I had 34 cows in there. There's two got struck by lightning, and here's a picture of them got struck by lightning. So you know what's going on there. Calves, the whole nine yards. So anyway, let's take an Oklahoma Farm Bureau break, brought to you by Roger Mills County Farm Bureau. When we come back, we got lots of things to talk about.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
You worked and you sweat and you worried for months over your crop. So why are you giving away part of the profit to someone else? Cut out the middleman. Keep your grain on your farm. Keep your money for yourself. A grain bin on your farm will never depreciate as long as you use it, and it'll make you as much money as you want it to make. Store your own grain in your own bin. Wall Bin Hoppers. Take a look at their website, wallequip.com. Wallequip.com. You did all the work. You should keep all the profit.
Hey neighbors, Ron Hayes for SEI Agritech in Elk City. You know, SEI is ready to help you with all your fall cover crops. They offer a multi-species blend that's great for grazing and hay. Plus, it'll help to address your soil health goals. So give the good folks a call at SEI Agritech today at 580-225-0317. That's 580-225-0317. Or stop by and see them on South Randall in Elk City today.
Yippee-ki-yay, and a good afternoon, Western Oklahoma. Jimmy's Great Stewards of the Land. This is Drew Cobb with your Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, September 25th. 1,343 head were sold. Four head of steers at 418, brought 245. Six at 513, brought 239. Five at 588, brought 226. Five at 702, brought 185. Six at 803, brought 220. 18 at 867, brought 250. 30 at 910, brought 245. Eight head of heifers at 399, brought 262. Seven at 469, brought 245. 10 at 488, brought 238. 11 at 518, brought 255. 9 at 558, brought 227. 8 at 566, brought 225. 32 at 760, brought 239. Butcher cows were 350 to 124.50. Butcher bulls brought 85 to 134. Bred cows were 1575 to 1760. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction. Exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma. Sale every Monday at 10 a.m. to consign. Call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
If you ask me, people who mistreat the elderly should be horsewhipped with a horsewhip. Some sorry human specimen stole an elderly woman's medicine. We're not talking about vitamin C or ibuprofen. It was medicine she needed to keep living a normal life. It was getting late in the day, and she needed to take her medicine. So she called her doctor in a panic. Her doctor called the pharmacy and explained what had happened. The pharmacy was actually about to close, and delivery had technically stopped for the day. But they told the doctor they would absolutely fill the prescription and take the medicine to the woman. The doctor's the one who told that story I just told you. That doctor was impressed with the pharmacy. Let me ask you something. If the same thing happened to your mom or to your grandma, who would you want her pharmacy to be? In this case, good thing it was Grandview Pharmacy and Gifts, 1220 West 3rd in Elk City.
I say the future is ours! Can you dig it?
Oh, you sure can, especially if you rent from DJ's Rentals and Sales in Elk City. Dig up those old sewer lines with a backhoe or mini excavator. Save time and money. Rent a post-hole digger to help with your next fencing project. You can dig it today when you rent from DJ's Rentals on South Main in Elk City.
Can you dig it?
Find out more, visit DJsRental.com. That's DJsRental.com.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, your ag weather for Lahoma, Oklahoma. Right, currently it's 89 degrees, dew point's at 61, humidity is at 40%. The winds are out of the south-southwest at 15 miles an hour. No rainfall in the last 24 hours and only 0.04 inches of rain in the last 10 days. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature is 77 degrees. Fractional water, 1-day average 10-inch, 0.3. Sunsets at 7:22. It's sunny, 94 today, 12 to 14 mile an hour winds. Tonight, 67. Tomorrow, same thing, maybe a little higher winds tomorrow. 93 degrees with south winds, 10 to 20 miles an hour. Hey, a big shout out to Woodward, FFA, and the Elk City, or the Beckham County 4-H shooting teams. They had the OYE shoot yesterday, the finals, and looks like Woodward and Beckham County 4-H brought home a lot of stuff. As soon as I get a formal update, I can go through there. They said there was some good shooters from Cimarron County and stuff like that, and I don't want to leave anybody out, so I'll wait for the official shoot-off page, and that way we can recognize all the shooters, whether they did super good, bad, whatever. Anyway, when we're talking about all of our shooting teams, what a wonderful deal. There's a lot of shooters in Oklahoma nowadays, and I'm happy. It gives people something else to do besides projects they don't want to be involved in. How about that? The Oklahoma Farm Bureau is a grassroots organization that gives a voice to Oklahoma farmers, ranchers, and rural communities. Directed and guided by Oklahoma farmers and ranchers, Oklahoma Farm Bureau advocates for our state agriculturists in rural communities around the state and at our state capital in Oklahoma City, and then in the halls of Congress in Washington, D.C. I bet they're busy up there with these crazy Farm Bureau going on. You can easily join the Roger Mills Farm Bureau by going to their office in Cheyenne. memberships are just $37.50 and come with many benefits like insurance, life insurance, free roadside assistance, discounts with various businesses. 580-497-2579 or go to okfarmbureau.org. okfarmbureau.org. Great organization. Okay, I'm going to try this again. Where's it at? Okay, so they had Georgia peanut. You know, Georgia is a big peanut state. Anyway, they had people from other states, other countries, come check out the Georgia peanut tour coordinated by the Georgia Peanut Commission and the University of Georgia Extension Peanut Team and the U.S. Department of Agriculture Research Service, and they focused on Southwest Georgia during its visit through there looking earlier this month. So, and here is what they had to say.
The recent Georgia Peanut Tour, produced largely by the Georgia Peanut Commission, focused on peanut production in Southwest Georgia. Participants came from many states and foreign countries to become more familiar with the work Georgia farmers put into producing peanuts. During one stop on the tour, Southeast AgNet visited with Neil Flanagan, CEO of American Peanut Growers Group, to discuss the importance of the tour.
I don't know if everybody understands peanuts, and it's kind of a niche market, I believe, and it's certainly niche to deep Southwest, you know, South Georgia. And so it's a unique commodity, unique crop that's not grown, but mostly in the South and the VC and a little bit in Texas. So for me, I take a lot of passion in you know, the ag side, the community here. But anytime we have people come to a town of 2,800 people in Donaldsonville, Georgia, to look at what we've created, what we've built, and see what our farmers do, and there's a lot of pride in, you know, in that. So I think that's why we like to participate in any event where we have people come to our facility and see our, you know, our operation, just to have people come to Donaldsonville and understand that we're a small community here, but we're reached so far in Europe and different, you know, huge Fortune 500 manufacturers and around the United States, that people are familiar with those big iconic names, that, you know, we're producers for those people, and those peanuts that we grow here, these people have probably consumed somewhere. So
for the Southeast AgNet, I'm Will Jordan.
All right. When I first listened to this the other day, I was kind of mad they didn't mention Oklahoma. Then I found out the reason why they didn't mention peanuts being grown in Oklahoma, because the offer to have this tour on a peanut farm was first offered to Brian Silk, a.k.a. Bill Dance, but he declined because he didn't want these peanut farmers from Georgia and Alabama and Florida and that area to see his pineapple and sugar cane crop. That's what I heard. I don't know if it's true or not, but anyway, just don't know how those people around Delhi act sometimes, so you got to be careful. But that's what I heard. Sorry if I didn't. But while I was on the Southeast Ag Radio Network, I did see where, you know, the hurricane that just come through there here 2, 3, 4 weeks ago, it's the damage now is estimated at $370 million in agriculture losses only. And that it could increase when they figure out what the infrastructure damage was and timbers figured in, because Florida and that area there are big into timber. So losses could get bigger. So anyway, $370 million in damage. That's a lot of damage. Think about those guys down there as they're trying to get back into action. All right, Texas A&M. I talk about them every now and then. I got OSU, K-State, Texas Tech. But Texas A&M of agriculture, I think this is a positive thing for our agriculture. Their agriculture and life sciences welcome a record-breaking freshman class this year. They reached a milestone that illustrates a momentum growing across agriculture and life science industries. The college has reported the largest class of incoming freshmen in its history, 1,400. The incoming freshman class exceeded the number confirmed freshmen at this time last year by 40%. Last year was 997 freshmen. Jeffrey Sable, PhD, Vice Chancellor and Dean for Ag and Life Insurance, Life Sciences, said the freshman enrollment numbers are a sign that the college is continuing in the right direction. He said the achievement is an incentive on the ongoing collective efforts to offer the best learning opportunities and environment in the nation, but also on a purposeful effort to produce more graduates. Chris Skaggs, PhD, Associate Vice Chancellor for Stakeholder Relations and Associate Dean for Student Development, said the incoming freshman students should feel confident that they choose a great launching point for their academic careers. The majors offered through the College of Ag and Life Sciences are created to propel those new students towards success and create critical fields of study. Skagg said these students are entering careers our society relies on, and the jobs in the agriculture and life sciences lead to happier, more fulfilling careers, according to recent research. Ag and forestry have the highest level of self-reported happiness and lowest levels of self-reported stress of any major industry category, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics American Time Use Survey. I didn't know this, but the Texas A&M AgriLife College is the largest comprehensive ag program in the United States and has a track record of preparing students who are in high demand, noting that the curriculum goes far beyond traditional agriculture. They got 15 departments that house more than 300 facility experts and offers 90 degrees for undergraduate and graduate students. So that's pretty cool. Anyway, it's passing that information on along. Well, let's take Oklahoma Farm Bureau break. When I come back, we got some news on the next what might happen in the next pandemic, and it's not COVID. So anyway, be right back.
Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Farmers and ranchers, listen up. It's time to make your life easier with the Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding and Repair in Visalia, Oklahoma. The Apache Hay Wagon hauls multiple bales of hay and helps reduce waste. Less waste means more money in your pocket. It'll pay for itself over time, plus make your life easier. What a deal. See all they have to offer at everettswelding.com. Again, that's everettswelding.com. And be sure to check out their ads inside the Penny News.
Is your cattle mineral investment being washed away? Weather can cause conventional mineral to absorb water and blow away. Simply put, your cows probably aren't eating it. That's why Purina created Wind and Rain Storm Mineral, a weatherized mineral that can stand up to the elements. Its larger particle size makes it harder to blow away and easier for water to pass through it. Keep money in your pocket. Contact Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City today.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
You've heard us talking about the 30-year-old ratchet that NAPA replaced, no questions asked. A customer had a question about that particular transaction and that particular policy of replacing tools regardless of age. He walked into the Elk City NAPA store and asked, "Do you guys really do that?" And the answer was, "We replaced two last week."
We try our best not to tell the customer no, but to find what they need. NAPA Auto Parts of Elk City, 716 West 3rd. More parts for more cars.
Hey, Today in Ag listeners, this is Jared Clark with Southstar JCB. We carry a variety of wheel loaders, excavators, telehandlers, skid steers, and several other types of equipment. Please give me a call at 469-325-7466. That's 469-325-7466. Check us out on the web, southstartxjcb.com. That's southstartxjcb.com. I'd love to sell you one. Thank you and God bless you.
Do you love the great outdoors? Maybe you enjoy trap shooting or skeet shooting, or maybe getting some target practice in at the firing range is your thing. If you're that person, you love guns. Hobart Farm and Garden has a whole room dedicated to guns, gun safes, ammunition, and more. It's quite impressive. You got to go check it out. They are Western Oklahoma's platinum Browning dealer and Glock stocking dealer. They're located at 1030 South Monroe in Hobart, Oklahoma. If they don't have it, you don't need it. Hobart Farm and Garden.
It's important to keep your irrigation machines up and running during the growing season, because when your crops need water, they can't wait. And when you need parts, there's no substitute for the best. Valley Genuine Parts. From gaskets and gearboxes to booster pumps and boom mats, Valley Genuine Parts make all the difference to your operation. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325. For all your irrigation parts, technology, and service needs, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Here's your Hobart Farm and Garden Ag forecast for the big city of Erick, Oklahoma, home of Roger Miller. 92 degrees, feels like 89, dew points at 54, humidity's at 28. Winds are out of the southwest at 18 miles an hour with wind gusts up to 23. 24-hour rainfall, 0. 10-day rainfall, 0.09 one-hundredths of an inch. Not even a tenth of an inch. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 79 degrees. 1-day average 10-inch fractional water, 0.1. Sunset at 729. Today, 94 degrees. They're going to get there. Looks like the winds will be out of the south, 16 to 17 miles an hour. Tonight, 66. The winds slow down just a little, not much. And then mostly sunny tomorrow with winds. And looks like we'll have wind gusts tomorrow at 25 miles an hour. So hope you got your spraying done. Anyway, that is your Hobart Farm and Garden Ag Forecast for Erick, Oklahoma. Speaking of Hobart Farm and Garden, you guys realize one of my favorite places in the world. But anyway, October 1st, which is this Sunday, FYI, they won't be open, but that's the start of bow season. How about that? It's here. We're here. It's 90-something degrees, and the deer got your name wrote all over. Big buck sitting out there. I seen 3 or 4 yesterday morning, and man, there's some good-sized deer out there this year. So anyway, be safe out there in the field with archery hunting. It's coming up. Take care of your meat if you do shoot one. Everybody says, I'm not going. I'm going to tell you what. I used to say that when I lived in eastern Kansas. The state record that still holds today, muzzleloader was shot. Their muzzleloader season was about a week or two, 10 days ago. Back then, I don't know what it is today. I'm sure it's the same. Anyway, it was 96, 97 degrees. He shot the state record buck. Bass Pro bought his rack for $100,000. He's been going. He went around for a couple of years, giving shows, just doing interviews and stuff like that. Made another quarter to $300,000 in a couple of years. So don't ever think it's too warm. It's not. To hunt, you might find a state record, something out there. Bigfoot, it's not Bigfoot season. They're not going to go with that, but anyway, you never know what you're going to find out in the woods when it's hot. And anyway, so enjoy hunting season for deer starting this Sunday. And I need to get an update on that CWD they had in Woodward County. You need to get on their Oklahoma Department of Wildlife. If James is listening, tell me which counties that is that you have to report in on deer that you kill. I think Woodward County is one of them. So So there's more. I don't know if Beaver's one of them or not. So anyway, I need to get a true. I know, like I said, Woodward County. I think there's five counties you got to report. Anyway, we got to keep trying. You guys do your best to do the reporting here. We don't need this thing to get out of crazy like it did in Western Kansas and Colorado. And we don't need that CWD or whatever that disease is. We don't need that. So anyway, let's see here. Oh, the Penny News is out. New Penny News was out this morning. Hope you guys went and got your new edition of Penny News. My update, my tip of the week was, I wanted to read that to you. I was kind of proud of myself on that one. Here is your tip of the week. If you want the tractor, don't ask the wife's permission. Just come home with it. It's not like you can take it back. So, not like you're going to the gun shop and get you a new gun. You take that back. But anyway, Jerry Nines, he always got a good article in here. And he said, the preacher Sunday made some very good comments as he said to quit crying over what you lost, but instead concentrate on what you have left. He said, you have to suffer sometimes to get where you need to be. He said, I can't stop the problem, but I can't let the problem stop me. The preacher said, one characteristic we have lost in the last 40 years is our endurance. We all geared up too easily to quit, whether it is our job, marriage, or just choosing to live. The devil doesn't want what you got. Instead, he wants you. Anyway, Jerry also said they tell him that the interest rates are at all-time high in 21 years. The average monthly rent in New York City is $4,000. I wouldn't choose to live there if it was $150,000, he said. This paying for kids' college education does make me mad. In other words, in some cases, we will pay for these doctors and lawyers' education, and then they will turn around and charge me $150 an hour. So there you have it. And but anyway, get your copy of the Penny News. There's all kinds of good stuff in there, and take a look at all my show sponsors and do business with them. They're a great set of sponsors, both out of Woodward and here out of Elk City, mainly Beckham, Greer, Kiowa, Hollis, Harmon, Roger Mills. Got, man, just everywhere. We got good there. So we are in, this is an interesting article by Steve Kubich. And anyway, he said, we're in a COVID-19 decade. The social, economic, and culture effects of the pandemic will no doubt cast a long, dark shadow into our future. Nothing could be worse than what we just lived through during the past 3 years, right? And nope, not according to him. You do know there, that's a crazy question, he said. The sobering reality is as follows. Yes, next time it could be worse, and when, not if there is a next time. It might not be a people pandemic like COVID-19 or the Spanish flu outbreak of the early 1900s. Instead, it could be something very different that does not affect people directly, but instead preys on the plants that are needed to feed a growing global population. Although about 300,000 plant species are edible, only a fraction of them are used for human nutrition. Roughly 200 species of regularly consumed, and only three of them, rice, maize, which is corn, and wheat, provide 60% of the energy in a human diet. Throw a COVID-like event at one of those three main crops and you'll have a global famine on your hands. A situation like this started in Ireland in 1845 and lasted until 1852. The crop-related pandemic became known as the Great Famine, or more specifically, the Irish potato famine. Nobody really knows how the fungus bipolar got into the U.S. cornfields by the summer of 1970. However, it was there with a vengeance and inflicting of a disease called southern corn leaf blight, which causes corn stalks to either weather or die. The South got hit first, then the disease marched northward. It spread through Tennessee and Kentucky before heading up into Illinois, Missouri, and Iowa, the heart of the Corn Belt. The destruction was unprecedented, and the corn harvest in 1970 was reduced by 15%. Farmers lost almost 700 million bushels of corn that could have fed livestock and humans at an economic cost of $1 billion. And that's $1 billion, a lot of money in 1970. Some experts say that these events are yesterday's problems, and we're smarter and better prepared to deal with whatever challenges the future holds. With advanced seed technologies utilizing artificial intelligence and CRISPR gene editing tools at our fingertips, these experts say such a doomsday claims are just Chicken Little talking again. The greatest heal of these three major crops consumed on the planet is their shallow gene pool that is shared among today's hybrid varieties. It was exactly such genetic Montoli, I hope I didn't even, there's not an L in there, but anyway, that paved the way for corn leaf blight explosion in 1970. The match, however, was lit decades earlier when scientists in the 1930s developed a strain of corn with a genetic quirk that made it a breeze for seed companies to crank her out. So, anyway, they think there's a chance. They don't know. So, anyway, you guys have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark. God bless.
You've got it locked on Western Oklahoma and the Eastern Texas Panhandle's home for today's best country. Number one rated, 96.5 KECO Elk City.